All right, that was something. The Seattle Seahawks defense just got completely destroyed. Keep in mind that this was the number one defense in the league entering this game. But it turns out that that might have been a little bit inflated since they got to face Bo Nix, Jacoby Brissett, and Skylar Thompson. Today they faced more of a real team in Detroit, and Jared Goff just delivered a perfect game. And spare me with the excuses. There's going to be so many people saying that, yes, yeah, Seattle was missing 5-6 starters in the front seven. This is not high school football. You cannot allow a perfect game. At this level, that is embarrassing, especially for a defense that came in ranked number one. So I'm going to look at this from the 49ers perspective, because both of these teams are of great interest to San Francisco. In just over a week, they're going to be traveling up to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Brock Purdy has already had Seattle's number several times. It's obviously a new play caller on the defensive side of the ball. Mike McDonald's the new coach for the Seahawks. The Pete Carroll era is over, but a lot of the personnel remains the same. And based on what I saw today, and I get it, injuries for Seattle, but based on what I saw, the back four, not the front seven was injured, the back four more or less intact, but the back four still doesn't seem physical enough to handle the likes of Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings. I saw David Montgomery just absolutely, was that Woolen or was it Witherspoon? But he just absolutely destroyed him on a run in the third quarter. So to me, it doesn't look like Seattle is going to have what it takes to maintain elite defensive status throughout this year. In fact, that status is going to drop as soon as this chart is updated. This is what we saw entering the football game. Vertical axis is defense, and the Seahawks were at the very top, as you can see here. But after Jared Goff just finished 18 of 18 against the Seattle Seahawks, they're going to tumble defensively here. Offense had been average. That's about what you expect out of a Geno Smith offense. They've been average for years now with him. They're right there in the middle of the X-axis. But Y-axis-wise, Mike McDonald had seen success, again, against Bo Nix, Jacoby Brissett, and Skylar Thompson. He faces Jared Goff with this unit, and it's 18 of 18 for Jared Goff. And Jared Goff caught a touchdown pass. We're going to compare this to recent perfect game attempts in 49ers history. Well, this is not so recent anymore. Alex Smith, 18 of 19 against Arizona back in 2012. That was the game before he suffered the concussion against the Rams and Colin Kaepernick took over. Crazy that that was the finishing note, really, for Alex Smith as the starter in San Francisco. And then last year, it was also week four. So it was this weekend last year. Brock Purdy went 20 of 21, also against the Arizona Cardinals. That was at Levi's Stadium. It just so happens that both of the 49ers' perfect game attempts came against the Arizona Cardinals, and they're playing the Arizona Cardinals this week. So what better way to preview 49ers Cardinals than to look at what just happened with the Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions? You know, I'm going to go out there on a limb, and I don't think it's that much of a limb at this point. I'm going to say that the 49ers could put up 40 against both of these teams, especially the versions of the defenses that we saw tonight. I mean, look at the quarterback matchup in this game today. It was off the charts, especially for Jared Goff. 23 dropbacks. He's averaging points over 0.7 expected points added per play. So at the end of the day, Geno Smith actually had a higher total EPA, but Geno Smith dropped back 75 times, and Jared Goff only dropped back 23 times. It is hard for me to overstate the absolute destruction that the Detroit Lions put on the Seattle Seahawks defense today. As you can see here, average, the completion percentage, 100%. You very rarely see that. We might have some history pop across Twitter here so I can give you a little bit more perspective. 92.9 QBR, 25% completion percentage over expectation for Jared Goff. I mean, this was not good for the Seattle Seahawks, but it also wasn't great for the Detroit Lions defense. And as I said, both of these teams are of interest to the 49ers. They play the Seahawks twice, and who knows, maybe the 49ers are going to play Detroit again in the postseason. And, you know, just looking at history of the 49ers offense against both of these defenses, they put up 34 on Detroit in the NFC Championship game last year, and they put up 31 and 28 respectively on the Seahawks last year. I will say that divisional games, I find to typically be a little bit lower scoring. Teams know each other a little bit more, so it creates a little bit more of a defensive battle. But the version of defense that Seattle put out there today that could not tackle anybody, that would given up 70-yard gashes at a time. I mean, I think they came within 8 points and gave up a 70-yard touchdown on one play. That version, susceptible to having 40 dropped on them. The Lions, to me, it's really interesting because what if we see the 49ers and the Lions in the playoffs this year, but in a dome? I actually think that it might be more of an advantage for San Francisco from an X's and O's football standpoint than playing the game at Levi's. Although the game last year at Levi's was played in really warm weather, so it was as close to dome-like conditions as you could get for January and outside. Remember how warm it was for the NFC Championship game? But domes are known as faster tracks for obvious reasons. They're played on the artificial surface, or most of them. Some domes have natural grass, but the one in Detroit is played on an artificial surface. And I really do think that the 49ers have so many offensive weapons, especially if they're relatively healthy heading into a potential playoff game with Detroit in the postseason, that Lions defense would have a lot of trouble. And I think that it's clear. I mean, this is Jared Goff's night, so we're going to talk about Brock Purdy in a little bit, but I think in a 49ers-Lions matchup, the 49ers do have the quarterback advantage. We saw that last year in the NFC Championship game. Purdy was able to deal with the pressure, escape from it, and Jared Goff was not. But, I mean, I would pay to see the 49ers play the Lions in a dome. That would be really interesting to me, and I think the 49ers could put up a lot of points in that situation. Now, you got to look at the flip side. The 49ers defense would probably give up quite a few points given some of the struggles that they've had. I mean, we've seen the defense give up, 27 to the Rams with a beleaguered front. They did a lot better against the New England Patriots. Better also against the Jets week two. Well, Sam Darnold's at the top of a lot of league lists right now, so it might not have been the worst loss. But we'll find out by the time the January rolls around what type of defense the 49ers are truly fielding. You know what? Summer has started in San Francisco. Well, or it's about to start in San Francisco. It's September 30th. It's 8:37 p.m. So give it about 3.5 more hours. The calendar will flip to October. Those of you who are from the Bay Area, specifically from San Francisco, know what I'm talking about. Summertime here is October. Call it the Indian summer. It stays nice and warm at night. The winter, meanwhile, is the typical summer. That's why tourists always have to buy sweatshirts with SF on them when they come to San Francisco in July or August because, well, they're just not ready for how cold it's going to feel. I talked a little bit about it earlier. It's the warm air that comes in from the valley colliding with the cold air that is coming from the Pacific Ocean, which is water coming down from Alaska. Warm and cold collide, creates fog, creates a lot of mayhem in the summer. It's cooled off a little bit in the Central Valley. I'm sure we got a lot of 209ers, 559ers, Sacramento people, 916ers watching right now. So I'm sure it's cooled off in your direction. It's September 30th. I hope it has. I feel bad if it hasn't. And if it has, well, that's what helps us get conditions like these in San Francisco. I swam in that water today. It was cool. Swam all the way out to the left. I think you probably see a little boat buoy. I swam over there to the left. Didn't swim all too far. Tomorrow, I think we're going to go outside the pier over there toward Fort Mason, which is under the left tower of the Golden Gate Bridge. But summer started. That means that it's probably going to be a toasty game at Levi's Stadium this weekend when the 49ers take on the Cowboys. And yes, we will emphasize that the Seattle Seahawks defense, if we're going to talk about this, was indeed battered by injury. Let's put up the team tier charts again. It shouldn't be long before Ben Baldwin updates this after Monday Night Football. So we're going to see Seattle's logo drop, and their offensive performance probably will mean they move to the right. So I say Seattle probably going to move to the right, like right around here. I think that's going to be very damaging to their defense with only four games on the resume. So I think their defense probably drops to right here. The Seahawks will be right around the tier of the New York Jets after that game. That's my prediction. Meanwhile, the Detroit Lions, well, that was a hell of an offensive performance, the perfect game from Jared Goff. So they're going to slide on out over here, right? Probably near the 49ers, maybe not quite there. And defensively, though, that might be a little bit of a hit for the Lions, what happened today. So maybe they'll move down to near the Buccaneers, who they lost to, by the way. Tampa Bay is the team that beat Detroit. So as you can see, this graph is starting to crystallize. X-axis is offensive EPA per play. Y-axis is defensive EPA per play. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be 101 degrees tomorrow in Visalia. Mike just texted me. Sorry to those of you who are out there. And I said, oh, it's going to cool off in the Central Valley, or it probably already has cooled off. Nope, it's going to be October 1st, and it's going to be 101 degrees. So there's that. My condolences. It's going to be like 90 in San Francisco. Let me look it up. So the hot air is going to continue to come in. It's just going to be a big high-pressure system, I guess, over the entire West Coast. They're saying 87 high in San Francisco tomorrow, which is really warm. 80 the following day, but 101 in Visalia. All right, cool. We got to talk about Brock Purdy and how he's completely changed the 49ers offense. If you go to the description, you will find a link. And the link will lead you to this. This is the story up on the San Francisco Standard. Up today, these are my grades for 49ers Patriots. Brock Purdy has completely changed the 49ers offense. This goes back to when they actually played the Lions in the NFC Championship game, and the Packers before that, and the Chiefs right after that in the Super Bowl. The 49ers called 109 pass plays in the playoffs last year and only 77 run plays. And don't get me started on, well, they were behind. They were behind the Lions by 17, but they actually had an equal run-pass division in the third quarter as they erased that deficit really quickly. So there was a big gap between pass plays and run plays called by the 49ers, which marked the shift. It showed us that Kyle Shanahan was willing to throw more with Brock Purdy. Finally, yesterday after the game, Kyle Shanahan did acknowledge that Brock Purdy gives him the ability to air it out more. And we saw in a lot of glory the 49ers pass first offense yesterday. I mean, they can also still run. Don't get me wrong. Jordan Mason is leading the NFL in rushing yardage, but Brock Purdy is leading the NFL in passing yardage. Juwan Jennings, by the way, is number three in receiving yardage. And I should say, let me correct myself. Jordan Mason's now number two in rushing yardage. He was number one after the game that's photographed on the screen finished, but then Derrick Henry passed him later that night. Anyway, it was about Brock Purdy airing it out in this football game. And I've got some of the stats here, and I've talked about this a lot already on our earlier show today. Maybe I could zoom in on this for you. I don't know how this is going to work. Oh, yeah, this could work. You could see this in a little bit bigger font. But some of these stats, these are stylistic stats, will tell us a whole heck of a lot about what's changed for this 49ers offense. So you've got Purdy's stylistic 2023 stats alongside a league ranking and his stylistic 2024 stats alongside a league ranking. And by the way, you could get this all for free over at the San Francisco Standard. So just click on the link that's in the description. I could even put the link up on the screen, but you won't be able to click on it. So, or you could find it on my Twitter if you're watching through Twitter. It's a recent tweet. You could see here that in 2023, when Purdy was very efficient, he was number one in efficiency. He's number two in efficiency this year. But he got to that same spot of efficiency through two very different roads. His snap-to-release time ranked 11th last season. It ranks first this year. He's running around more. He's creating more, scrambling to find guys downfield. His average depth of target was number 14 last season. It's number two this season. 2.5 yards further downfield. That's significant from Brock Purdy. His deep passing yards per game, he averaged 59.8 last season. He's averaging 73 this season. So that's gone up from number seven to number one. His tight window throw rate, this is crazy. Tight window throw rate went from 12.8% to 24.6%. It nearly doubled. So he's working harder, but of course he's still getting it done based on the efficiency. And he's getting way, way less yak this year. Number one last year in yak, number 31 this year in yak. So what we've seen from Brock Purdy, and there's the nice picture up on the screen, is an offense that is now making its hay by airing it out. And they're airing it out despite the fact they're seeing the second most eight-man coverages out of any offense in the NFL. Defenses have shown three-man rushes, eight-man coverages 19 times already against the 49ers. They're showing a lot of respect to Brock Purdy, but he continues to knife downfield with his passes. The average depth of target has increased. The deep balls have increased. Basically, every single ridiculous criticism that wasn't true that Brock Purdy shouldered last year, he doesn't care. He's just plowing through it. He's bulldozing through it with the play that we've seen from him so far this year. So this massive change of the 49ers offense, I don't know how long it's going to last, and I think they'll probably revert to a hybrid of what they've shown so far this year and what they showed last year, especially when Christian McCaffrey returns, because he is such a good outlet man on some of those short passes. Defenses are going to start to have to be a little bit more aggressive against the underneath stuff for the 49ers. They're not going to be able to just seed good efficiency. They're going to have to try to cut some of that off. And, you know, when that happens, it will also help the 49ers deep game. That the point is that this offense probably has a floor of good efficiency. It's not going to be worse than good with Brock Purdy at quarterback. That's how good he is. But with a fully equipped arsenal of weapons, and that would include Christian McCaffrey, I think this offense can climb back to the tip top of the NFL. Great offense. They're top three, top four as it stands right now. We'll see how they do against the Arizona Cardinals, who have a below average defense. And then we get to watch them against the Seattle Seahawks on a short week after that. And Seattle just got roasted on the road today by the Detroit Lions. If you're just joining us, Goff, 18 of 18 versus Seattle. The guy up on your screen, Brock Purdy, last year against the Cardinals, who he gets to play this weekend, was 20 of 21. Goff's performance, reminiscent of that 20 of 21 Purdy performance, the 18 of 19 Alex Smith performance. And boy, neither defense today looked good at all. And that's good news for the 49ers, who also haven't looked great defensively this year until they played the Patriots. The Patriots, by the way, they took Seattle to overtime. And I know that Seattle, that was one of the games that was part of Seattle's number one defensive ranking. So it's Seattle hadn't gotten torched until today. But, you know, if you're people love to go transitive property with some of this stuff. I see a lot of, well, the 49ers lost to the Rams. If you're going to play that game, the Seahawks got taken to OT by Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots. So I think it's still too early to play that game just because September is the preseason for all intents and purposes now in the NFL. And when that happens, you have to wait till these seasons blossom into October. That's why I've said that I think that the next 2 weeks can really truly set the tone for the 49ers season. They're both against divisional opponents in Arizona and then against Seattle. And if San Francisco wins both, say that they take care of business against the Arizona Cardinals at home. Let's look at the spread. I'm curious what the spread for this game against Arizona is. They take care of business there, and then they move on and they win on the road in Seattle. Well, the 49ers are sitting really, really pretty as they move into the back half of October, especially for a team that typically peaks in November. 49ers are favored by 7.5 points against the Seattle Seahawks, against the Arizona Cardinals. They won't be favored by 7.5. In Seattle, I would guess. Well, it depends on what happens against Arizona. That will affect some of these lines, but I guess anywhere between 4 and 6 point favorites when they head to the Seattle. So it's going to be interesting for sure over the course of the next 2 weeks. All right, let's open this up to some 49ers questions, but not until after we go sandwich of the day, because this is truly the sandwich of the day. This is Reyes in the Mission. This is the Valencia Street sandwich. You got some turkey on it, but take a look at their menu. They've got a Buster Posey sandwich. I'm going to read what it has on there. Grass-fed naval pastrami, locally made, wrapped in pastrami, melted pepper, jack, That's Jack melted pepper jack. Sorry, I inserted a phantom comma there. Melted pepper jack, creamy slaw, roasted pepper and garlic aioli, Kansas City style barbecue sauce served on a toasted French roll. That's the Buster Posey. I didn't have the Buster Posey today, but the Giants hired Buster Posey as their president of baseball operations. This is the Valencia Street sandwich at Reyes. They got named one of the top 33 sandwiches in the United States. And it just so happened that local sports icon Buster Posey elevated to an executive role. So I figured it would be a good sandwich of the day here in San Francisco. Play it for you guys one more time. I know they like the 49ers over at Reyes too. So you have to support those local businesses. It was a good day. I was working on this article right here. That sandwich that you just saw right here fueled this article that you see right here on the San Francisco Standard. So when you go to the Standard, there'll be a thing, you know, you got the link on my YouTube page, but there'll be a little email prompt. And that's how you could come aboard. I mean, we've got all of the 49ers grades here. I can go through some of them in a little bit. But first, I'm going to open this up to a 49ers Q&A. How's everybody doing? It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Like I said, summer has started a little bit early, a day early in San Francisco. Questions are open. Did Ronnie Bell get benched? I mean, he was inactive. They got Debo Samuel back. Debo wasn't available against the Rams. Debo comes back, so you have to make somebody inactive to have room for Debo Samuel. So I think it was a simple swap. So technically, I guess, yes. But Ronnie Bell was a reserve in the first place, and he was playing, and he had that big of a target share because the 49ers had some injuries to pick up the slack of. You want to talk about Brock Purdy? All right, we could talk more about Brock Purdy. There he is. Here's the article. I went through all the statistics for you. You could click on this. I mean, I gave him an A over 63 snaps. This is what I wrote in the report card for Brock Purdy up on the Standard. There were two blemishes on Purdy's performance: an interception to Patriots safety Jabril Peppers on a throw intended for receiver Brandon Ayuk, who was double covered at the time, and a sack during which Purdy fruitlessly tried to escape a clean pocket. Those plays cost Purdy an A-plus in this exceptionally dynamic performance. He can obviously throw. He's one of the most accurate passers in the NFL. He could really run. That's something we've been talking about for a while now. We saw both things for the 49ers over the course of the past game. I believe there is a link in the description. I would hope so. If there's not, look, I'm going to grab this. I'm going to hit copy, and I'm going to send it over to Mike. And we're going to get Mike to put the link in the description. Thanks, Mike, if you can do that. So he'll pop it in there, and then you can go check it out over at the San Francisco Standard. Brock is the best quarterback the 49ers have had since Steve Young. Well, yes, statistically for sure. Statistically, he's had one of the best starts in NFL history. Better rating than Patrick Mahomes by 0.1. 0.1, and that puts Brock Purdy at the number one spot out of quarterbacks since the NFL-AFL merger in 1970 and their rating over their first 25 career starts. 112.6 for Purdy, 112.5 for Patrick Mahomes. Mike said that he added it, but you might need to refresh the video for it to pop up. All right, so if you want to check out the link, you're going to have to refresh the video for it to pop up. Here's another comment. I know scrambling isn't rare right now, but I feel like Purdy inspired the other quote-unquote less athletic quarterbacks to try and create in bad situations. You know, the thing is, too, that Purdy isn't really less athletic. as we've said, he's got a faster 10-yard split than Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, as Brock Purdy himself relayed to people yesterday. So hopefully people are listening at this point, because I know when I first said it over a year ago, people wouldn't accept stuff like that. Now I think, well, Brock Purdy himself is saying it at his press conferences. So I think people will notice. They should have already noticed on the tape. The tape doesn't lie. The guy's got an insane burst. And the way that he can move is 100% elite. He could really, really take a good first, second step. And that's most of what you need at the quarterback position. This is, I think, a good comparison for Brock Purdy is Andrew Luck. He's been better than Andrew Luck as far as efficiency goes, but he's, you could say too, he's been in a situation with more weapons. I get it. But as you've seen, even when a lot of those weapons are missing, the efficiency has stayed really good for Brock Purdy. He's not as physically as imposing as Andrew was at 6'4", 6'5", but Purdy plays, and I compared him to Andrew Luck, who I covered. I've covered both of those quarterbacks, Luck at Stanford. I get the same sense of field command from Purdy that I did when I watched Andrew Luck play at Stanford. And that, so much of the quarterback position is just that. It's knowledge of where everybody is, the command of the geometry of the football field, and then the decision-making to be able to thread the needle throughout all of those factors. That's what playing quarterback is. And so much of that is up here. It's in the head, right? It's cerebral. And that's why people have such a tough time evaluating quarterbacks, because it's not going to show up necessarily on the 40. Now, there are certain metrics that might translate a little bit more than others to how a quarterback will perform certain parts of his job. So when it comes to off-schedule escapability and pocket movement, you have to have strong legs and a good initial burst. That's where the 10-yard split applies to what Brock Purdy's doing. So for a quarterback, the 10-yard split is going to be far more relevant than the 40-yard dash. Nobody cares how fast you can run 40 yards on a straight line. But how quickly you can move on the first few steps in the pocket, whether or not you have peripheral vision or eyes in the back of your head, those kind of things all combine to create a quarterback who is an elite mover. And Brock Purdy is an elite mover. He might not be an elite runner, but he's an elite mover. And sometimes that's good enough to pick up first downs and score some touchdowns with his legs, and also avoid some sacks. And avoiding negative plays is often more important than even generating positive ones in the NFL. But we know that Brock Purdy can do both of those things. Mason's not sure if the 49ers would destroy the Seahawks or Lions. I'm just saying that Brock Purdy would have his way. He's arguably the best quarterback in the game. I mean, the way Mahomes is playing this year is not playing at a very high level. Will he turn it around? Will he figure it out? Probably. I give Mahomes the benefit of the doubt track record-wise. But the way that I'm seeing QBs play right now, entering yesterday, I would have said Josh Allen at the top, but Josh Allen had a rough go of it against the Ravens. I think it's Purdy and Jaden Daniels playing the best football in the NFL as we speak. Jared Goff, too. We got to give him his flowers. Jared Goff just delivered the perfect game for the Detroit Lions. Here, let's give Goff his flowers. 18 of 18 for the Lions against the Seattle Seahawks, a defense that had been number one, but they were missing a lot of guys. Still, I think it is absolutely embarrassing. You cannot allow a perfect game at this level. It's not high school football. The Seahawks looked like a high school defense against the Detroit Lions tonight, especially when David Montgomery, Iowa State, teammates with Brock Purdy, teammates with a freshman Brock Purdy, he was running over some DBs, kind of like Juwan Jennings ran over some Seattle Seahawks defensive backs last season. All right, I'm going to go back to the Q&A. I know that's what you guys are here for. I know we've already talked about the Seahawks and the Lions. Don't worry, Purdy will start checking the ball down more. Defenses are going to have to really start sagging back against the 49ers, because Purdy, he leads the league with 292 deep passing yards. So any quarterback that's leading the league in that metric, he's going to get a ton of respect downfield. That will open up the shorter stuff. When that open stuff is, that shorter stuff is opened up, that's when you really want Christian McCaffrey. I think the best guess that I have is around the bye week for Christian McCaffrey. And that's also just the 49ers guessing as well, because it's tendonitis. Tendonitis is the situation that is associated with inflammation, and they've got to keep the inflammation quiet, and they've got to ramp Christian McCaffrey up, and they have to be cautious with it. There's no reason to rush it if you're the 49ers. And I think that looking at that with the ramp up period beginning today, you're probably looking at something in early November if everything goes well. That seems to me to be the smart timeline for San Francisco. In the interim, Jordan Mason has worked on his hands. You can go to some other targets on shorter passes. Maybe Jacob Cowing will emerge on some shorter routes for San Francisco. He's got some speed too, and you could probably run some sideline to sideline stuff with Jacob Cowing in the run game that can also help things out. So 49ers are going to adapt. Don't worry. It's a good problem to have when you're passing deep so effectively that opposing defenses are going to start asking you to throw a few more checkdowns by sagging so far off the line of scrimmage. Can also continue to help Jordan Mason, who's number two in the league in rushing yardage right now. Do I think Garendo will keep doing kick returns next week? It's a good question. I know Shanahan has very little patience for that. They might just have to put in a veteran who they really, really trust back there, because they lost 16 expected points on special teams this past game. And most of that damage occurred because of that fumble from Isaac Garendo. They gained 24 expected points on defense. They gained 11 expected points on offense. They lost two touchdowns and two two-point conversions worth 16 points on special teams. That just, it won't fly for the 49ers against better opposition. So they need to find a way to eliminate these glaringly bad plays in that third phase of the game. What do I think of Sorensen having Bosa and Floyd playing coverage? I think that's a standard zone blitz. You see it around the NFL a lot. And I think some of that influence is coming from Brandon Staley as well. What you do is you bring a rusher that the offense isn't expecting, because you don't run the zone blitz all the time. You run it rarely, but you pick your spots. So when there is a zone drop from Bosa or Floyd and a linebacker comes instead, or Malik Mustafa comes instead, you can hit the quarterback and the offense with a pressure that they're not suspecting. Now, if they're ready for it, if they diagnose it properly, and then they victimize Nick Bosa in pass coverage, it doesn't look good, but it's a bet that you take to try to get some sack-like pressure on a quarterback. And I think people love the zone blitz when it works. So it's about when you call it. I don't have a problem with the call itself, but the timing has to be good. I still think it's a little too early to call Garendo a flop. I think that, again, he's a rookie. They've worked him into some of these outside zone runs. He's had a couple runs that were a little bit nicer than the others. There was one where they thought that they were really, really close to springing it free. I believe it was against the Rams. Chris Foerster was talking about. So give him some time. I mean, somebody like Raheem Mostert, it took him several seasons in the league. And the comps that I'm getting for Isaac Garendo are Raheem Mostert comps, kind of an upright running style. But he could really, really pick up speed quick when he slashes downfield. So I think patience is important. Consider September to be preseason in the NFL, especially for Garendo, who missed most of training camp. And see if he starts to get a little bit more involved and a little bit more comfortable throughout the course of October. And he's also a super raw running back, as Mike points out. Isaac Garendo was a receiver when he entered college, switched to running back, and then only started one game in his entire college career across two schools, two different programs. So he's got amazing measurables, right? Saquon Barkley like measurables, 4'3", 40, 220 pounds, a lot to love there. But the 49ers knew that this was a raw prospect when they got him. So they have to take their time with him, and I'm sure that they will. Should Sam Okawanu replace Leonard Floyd on base downs? Leonard Floyd has been good this year. Leonard Floyd ranks number 10 in the pressure rate from all defensive linemen. I think people are seriously underrating Leonard Floyd. This has been a 10-sack guy in each of the past four seasons. He's an Iron Man. He's played in something like 111 consecutive games, maybe 112 at this point. He's consistent. Again, number 10 in pressure rate. Yesterday, he delivered the pressure on the Fred Warner pick six. He's the guy that got up in Jacoby Brissett's face. So let's see a little bit more respect for Leonard Floyd, who's been a good player in this National Football League for a long time. And he delivered five more pressures for the 49ers yesterday. Mike always has some astute thoughts. 49ers are a Mason injury away from needing Garendo to pick apart to be a I think you're trying to say he's a key part of the offense. Keep trying to get him reps. I think that's exactly what the 49ers are doing. They're trying to work Garendo in. They're trying to work Renardo Green in on the defensive side. Tatum Bethune got a few snaps. That's the seventh-round rookie linebacker out of Florida State. Malik Mustafa played 64 snaps against the New England Patriots. He started at the safety position. Jacob Cowing saw four snaps, but he hurt his shoulder. He's day-to-day. So a lot of rookies are playing for the 49ers, and that's a very needed thing, and they seem to be very happy about the rookie class. They like the maturity that it's shown. So my article here gave out grades for the 49ers. So if you want to read about the 49ers grades, go ahead and go to the description, and you can click on that link. I'm going to go through some of the grades right now, but it would be cool if you followed along on your own screen. Trying to see how many people we have watching on YouTube. Oh, cool. We got about 600 on YouTube, so we got 2,500 on Twitter. It's a big crowd. Big crowd for late at night. It's past 9 o'clock. That's great. We've got 3,000 total people watching. Should add to another channel. We got it going on Twitter. We've got it going on YouTube. Fun stuff. Really fun stuff. So we're going to go through the 49ers grades now. And I said that we had an A for the quarterback position. I gave running backs a B minus. And as you can see here, I'm going to highlight it. Mason is third in the NFL in rushing yards over expectation. Behind only Saquon Barkley, speaking of him, and Derrick Henry. Mason has been awesome for the 49ers. Truly special player for San Francisco. Let me refresh this. I think that we've got... Here we go. Brandon Ayuk separation stats. It's getting really hard for me to, and it's always been hard. I'm not going to say that this is a new thing, but to quantify Brandon Ayuk's slow start, you know, we're trying to figure out why exactly is he not popping off the screen the way that he popped off last year. This is very rudimentary. NFL Next Gen stats have a separation stat that Brandon Ayuk, prior to this season, had been extremely consistent in. Average separation in terms of yards at the time of the catch. In 2020, as a rookie, his average separation at the time of the catch was 2.8 yards. In 2021, it was 2.9 yards. In 2022, it was 2.9 yards. In 2023, it was 2.9 yards. But here in 2024, it's only 2.1 yards. Now, it's still a relatively small sample. The 49ers could be facing different types of defenses, and you know a lot of different stuff can happen to depress that number. But the fact that it had been so consistent for Brandon Ayuk over the course of these four seasons and then has dropped nearly a full yard here in 2024, does pique my interest. It might be something that illustrates this 2024 decline in statistical production from Brandon Ayuk. Anyway, I gave the receivers a B because Juwan Jennings actually leads the league in yards per route run and EPA. Tight ends, A plus, George Kittle's catch. O-line, B minus, Aaron Banks gave up four pressures. D-line, A. I mean, look at the pressure numbers for the defensive line. Bosa, Floyd, Collins, Gross, Matos, Givens, Okawanu. Linebacker, A. Defensive back, A. I mean, the defense was really good for the 49ers. And then Brad over on the SF Niners, he had this great video of Malik Mustafa pancaking an offensive lineman. I think Brad just films the whole game and gets some really good footage. So go ahead and check that out. I don't want to steal Brad's thunder, so I won't play it here, but you can go to his Twitter, Graham_SFN, SF Niners, and check out this amazing block from Malik Mustafa. Gave special teams a D just because a couple rookies showed out for the 49ers. Jalen Mahoney is a rookie out of Vanderbilt. He knew on Saturday, let him know the day before the game, they were calling him up from the practice squad, and he made a nice stop on special teams. Kyle Shanahan gave a shout-out to Mahoney today. Anyway, as you can see, that's a very in-depth 49ers grading piece, and we go through all the complicated Purdy statistics and the way that he has completely changed the offense. Go ahead and check that out. I think you'll like it. You could go ahead and click the link in the description, or it's on my Twitter page when you do that. If you're listening on the podcast, then absolutely, absolutely go and check this out on YouTube, or go visit us on Twitter so you can go click on that article. The podcast, by the way, a lot of you complain that you can't find an audio-only version. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. Just look up the Lombardi Lounge. That is the name of the podcast. Any more questions? We'll have to do a meetup in Buffalo. I'll have Margo's the one that organizes the meetups. So I'll tell her, hey, we got to do something in Buffalo if you're coming in from Toronto. That's really cool. My Instagram is Lombardi himself. I use it more for personal purposes, but it is public. So you can check it out. Just like my Twitter, it's Lombardi himself. All right, 42 minutes in. I think that does it. Jared Goff, the perfect game tonight against the Seattle Seahawks defense. That was ranked right here at the top. They're not going to be ranked at that spot anymore. Not after that. Jared Goff, it's like 2012 Alex Smith, except better. Brock Purdy was 20-21 against Arizona last year. But both of the defenses that I saw on the field tonight, the Seahawks and the Lions, I think Brock Purdy could absolutely roast, especially if they played the Lions in the playoffs in a dome. The fast track, that 49ers offense, ooh, be tough. Because they put up 34 in Detroit last season, despite sleepwalking early in that game, and 31-28 on the Seahawks last year. And I think Purdy has obviously only gotten better. So that was my takeaway today from Monday Night Football. And then, of course, I wrote about how Brock Purdy has completely changed the offense. And this is our celebration of the start of summer in San Francisco. How about that? That's from the Dolphin Club, by the way. Beautiful. Swam those waters today. They were nice and chilly, but it was hot outside, so that was good. And, of course, the sandwich of the day as we pan back to the Golden Gate Bridge. Reyes on Valencia Street. Reyes, the apt place to go today because the Giants brought in Buster Posey to take the John Elway, John Lynch role. They got the Buster Posey sandwich at Reyes. So go on, enjoy it. It's on Valencia and 19th Street. I'm going to go eat a burrito now. It's 9:10 p.m., 9:13 p.m. Everybody subscribe. Go check out The Standard. Do all that good stuff. We'll talk to you soon.